Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the DeFont LeRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, and Diamonddale, Michigan, this is episode 197 of the Por Favor, Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Michael Schaefer up in Michigan. Mr. Schaefer, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Mr. Klinsman's off this week. You're helping out in studio.
Yep. I'm glad to be back, too.
I know. Your agent's been calling us, like, nonstop, talking about offer letters and when we're going to have you back on and what kind of M&Ms we're going to...
Right.
FedEx,
yeah. Well,
to Michigan.
He was talking to me about some kind of ineligibility for signing with an agent or something like that. So there was talk about me going overseas and taking my talents over there, but he pulled some strings, worked some magic, and I'm back on.
Now, I know you don't like to talk money, but what are you getting, about $100,000 an episode, give or take a few?
You're right. I don't like to talk money, but if we were talking money, you'd have to keep going up.
Oh, so I'm not even in the same ballpark.
We're really not, no.
Oh, good Lord. So how's the weather up there, sir?
Oh, did you get that video I sent you?
Yeah, I watched it on the Mudder this morning before I went to work. Oh, that looked awful.
Yeah, that's like the first this is like the first snow that we've got. So yeah, this morning I was driving behind a salt truck.
Oh, those are always fun.
Yeah, just getting sprayed with salt, you know. So but yeah, it's been the first snow of the year. It's starting to cool down. I think last time I was on in the fall, it was really warm, and it pretty much has stayed warm, and just recently has really started to cool down. But how's the weather down there?
It was beautiful. It was 78 degrees. Cold front's supposed to come in sometime tomorrow, and then Saturday, I was reading, it said snow in Florida.
What?
A nice little teaser, yeah. They thinking up in the panhandle, maybe. A little bit of that white stuff, yeah. It's supposed to... We might not even see 60 on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I get miserable. I don't mind it once in a while, throw on a sweatshirt, wear my wind pants. It's not a bad little break, but this is the time of year where there's no humidity. You got that bright sunshine. It's 78 every day, and...
Just perfect weather.
Whether you like the heat or you like the cold, that this is the weather that everybody can come together and shake hands on.
Yeah, that's true. It's good. You know what? That temperature right there, it's good camping weather.
Good camping weather or good sleeping weather or both?
Both.
What is your lust for camping? Explain this thing.
I love it, man. I like getting outdoors. I like going different places. I like cooking too. I like to cook when I'm camping. I like cooking outside. A lot of times over the fire. I do a lot of Dutch oven cooking. So most things about camping I like.
I think your definition of a Dutch oven, it may differ from me and Klinsman. Yeah, okay.
Different Dutch oven, yeah.
Okay. That's something you can cook food in. Well, there's my Dutch oven you can cook too. It gets really hot down there, but cook up a steak real quick. Get it nice and seared.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Seared. So,
what do you like to cook when you're out in the great woods?
You know, the last couple times I went out, I did like a pulled pork in the Dutch oven, got like a nice pork shoulder, and did a good rub in there. And then another one of the times I did some shredded beef tacos. And both those things, I mean, you just put it on, you put coals underneath it, coals on top of it, and you're constantly, you know, adding coals to it. And, it takes a while, it takes 4 or 5 hours, but you're doing that, you know, just slow roasting it, and it turns out awesome.
Now, do you live off the land? Do you like to hunt? Do you bird hunt and deer hunt and eat that when you're out in the wilderness, or are you pretty domestic out there?
I don't really usually during camping season. Sometimes I'll take a pole with me and do a little fishing, but I can't take my boat with me when we go camping because I'm pulling our trailer. So, but yeah, I do hunt too, in the fall and in the winter up here. So, I went out a couple weeks ago and got a deer up here. And so we've been eating venison the past couple of days. I know how much you like venison.
Oh, I got tricked one time at one of my NCAA tournament parties, and somebody brought a stew, and they said it was beef, and I tried it. It tasted a little different, but it was okay, and then he broke the news to me and said that that was the first time I had ever had Bambi, so it was quite the shock.
I think he'd like this. A couple nights ago, I made a venison goulash, and I really liked it. However, my wife and my three-year-old didn't like it so much. Sometimes I forget that I'm not cooking at the fire station, so I made the goulash a little bit too spicy for them. So they didn't much like that. But then today I made a venison shepherd's pie, and that turned out real well. Liked that.
All right, let's take a step back. You said goulash, and that's a Midwest thing, because the first time I moved out to Minnesota, we went to this place, Millie's Deli, and it's a little restaurant that serves comfort food. And I asked for the American chop suey. That's what we call it on the East Coast. It's got that little elbow macaroni with hamburg.
Yeah,
and a little kind of red sauce. And she said, "Oh, they call it. You must be from the East Coast because we call that goulash."
Yeah, I watched some cooking show not that long ago where they go around to different places and they're talking about what do you call it again?
American chop suey.
Yeah, American chop suey. I'm like, the heck is that?
Yeah,
but yeah, goulash.
So is a goulash pretty much just any type of casserole dish?
No. I think what you're talking about, American chop suey, I think that would be considered goulash. You know, you got your some kind of ground meat with the elbow macaroni. You know, you got some
chopped onions,
usually some kind of peppers and like a red, you know, like a red sauce kind of.
Now the second part, you said that you made a Bambi shepherd's pie. Is that like your traditional Irish shepherd's pie with carrots and meat and potatoes? How do you prepare that?
Yeah, pretty much. I change it a little bit from most of the traditional because I don't like peas and my wife doesn't like peas. So I took the peas out, and actually today I added some rutabaga. Put some diced up some rutabaga and put that in there.
Wow.
I wasn't messing around.
So you must be a hit at the station, huh? Or I bet you guys always try to outdo each other, right?
Yeah, we got some pretty good cooks up at the station. I usually try to cook if I'm not on the ambulance, because some days I'm on the ambulance, some days I'm on the fire truck, but you're a whole lot more busy when you're on the ambulance. So there's a whole lot better chance that you're going to get called out while you're in the middle of making food. So I usually don't cook when I'm on the ambulance, but I try to cook when I'm on the truck.
Now, out of those two jobs, which one do you prefer?
I like being on the truck much better.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, you're not as busy. I mean, sometimes you can really get your butt kicked on the ambulance and you're just exhausted the whole next day. Have the possibility of going into a fire.
Now, is it like your stereotypical? Do you have a Dalmatian? Do you come flying down a pole, or is that just for the movies?
We don't have a dog. Where I work in East Lansing, we have two stations, and our station on campus, on MSU's campus, we have a pole there, and it sometimes gets used. usually if there's a fire that'll come in, I'll take the pole, but if anything else, I just use the stairs.
Okay. What else did I want to ask you? Do you have a beer of the?
I do. Yeah, I got one. I usually I stick with the Michigan beers, but this time I actually got a Wisconsin beer.
Oh, a little Leinenkrugels.
No, not Leinenkrugels.
No Lineys, huh?
You might still be familiar.
All right,
this is New Glarus Brewing.
No, I don't. I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. Well, this is New Glarus Brewing. It's a Spotted Cow. It's really popular down in Wisconsin. They have it on tap most places that you go. But I won't read the whole thing, but it says, naturally cloudy, we allow the yeast to remain in the bottle to enhance fullness of flavors, which cannot be duplicated otherwise. Excuse me. Expect this ale to be fun, fruity, and satisfying. You know you're in Wisconsin when you see the Spotted Cow. This is a farmhouse ale. This is a good beer. This is one of my favorite beers. I have family in Wisconsin, and anytime we go there and visit, we always pick up a case. And anytime they come here and visit, they always bring us a case.
Oh, very nice. Well, it is out in Sconey, as they called it in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Sconson, America. America, Sconson.
That's all they do out there is drink and smoke cigarettes. I don't know if you've noticed that.
They drink, they smoke, they love their Bloody Marys.
They love the brats. Yeah, I didn't know that they were big Bloody Mary fans out there.
They're huge Bloody fans. Brunches, Sundays on brunches, everywhere's got Bloody Marys. They're the kind of Bloody Marys that are basically an enormous appetizer, too. You know, you got the bacon in there, the smoked sausage, shrimp, cheese, you know, pickles, pickled asparagus, everything. They got everything.
Any excuse to drink out in Wisconsin.
That's the truth.
Cheesehead fans. Now, before we take a break, let me just run something by you. I know I posted something about listening to the Paul Feinbaum show, and you took a little shot at me, and I didn't get a chance to respond, but what is your distaste for Mr. Feinbaum? Is it just because he's an SEC Rube Homer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That and the fact that he's just an annoying guy. I just can't stand him. I don't like listening to his voice. He looks like a little squirrely rat, but mostly that he just is such an SEC homer.
Yeah, he is a homer. But one thing that I do like is that he's been bringing Laura Rutledge on quite a bit. And I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she was Miss Florida years ago, and she hosts at SEC Nation on Saturdays before games, and she's kind of fun to look at, and she's very knowledgeable when it comes to SEC football. So that's a reason to watch Mr. Feinbaum on the SEC Network in the afternoon.
Are you looking forward to next year with your Gators? How long do you think they're going to?
It's not going to. It can't take long because there's too much talent down there. It's not like it's a 5-year rebuild. There's one or 2 years of recruiting the best talent, but there's just too much talent to not be good. They should be a top 20 program every single year. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah. Even just for their location. Kids want to go to Florida.
Uh-huh.
They want to go to Florida State. They want to go to Miami. And it's always been like that. They want to go down there. This has been the, with no Big Ten team in the championship, I was a little bit disappointed. But I knew Wisconsin wasn't going to get in if they lost. And I also felt like Ohio State didn't deserve it, even with the championship. They got two losses. And one of them, they got blown out by a mediocre Iowa team.
Okay.
So just no one from the Big Ten deserved to go this year. It's unfortunate, but they didn't.
Okay. I was going to ask you because you're a Big Ten homer, and, you know, the way I thought Ohio State may have deserved it a little bit because they were conference champion, but UCLA or USC also didn't get in. They were conference champion. And I honestly think the top four teams are in there right now. And the fact that Alabama is favored over Clemson just goes to show that they probably deserve to get in there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I know that they weigh the conference championships, but, you know, their overall portfolio really is what matters here. And although they won the Big Ten, they got those two losses. Yes, one of them's to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But when you lose to Iowa and you get blown out like that, there's really no coming back from that.
And a win's a win, but they really could have lost that Penn State game. But I don't like to say, well, they should have lost this, they should have lost that, because a win's a win. But let's not forget about that. They pulled that out of their orifice at the end. So you're happy? You think the top four is good? I honestly told people at work that if this were pay-per-view like boxing, I'd pay $49.99 to watch each game.
Yeah, I'm not happy with it, but I think the top four teams are in right now, yeah.
Yep. Okay. I just wanted to run that by you because I know how the people in Big Ten country are very, very passionate, and they always think they seem to get screwed at the end of the year because two SEC teams always seem to get in.
Most years, yeah, that's true. But this year there wasn't a Big Ten team that could have went in. If Wisconsin would have had a stronger strength of schedule and they would have played some more teams and been undefeated going in, you know, then I could have seen it, maybe, but I don't know. But you know, the other thing too about the Big Ten is the way that the conferences are aligned, or the divisions are aligned, is just it's ridiculous. You got Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State all in the East, and those four teams are always going to be the top four teams in the East. It is.
Yeah, that West is a joke. You would expect Nebraska to come out of that every year, which they never do.
They've also had some down years recently, too. Really, since they've been in the Big Ten, they haven't been that strong. But Wisconsin,
yeah, they really have.
Wisconsin's going to be up there every year. Wisconsin will be up there every year, and some years you'll maybe have, you know, Iowa and Nebraska. But I think what needs, the way that I see that you could fix this is you switch, you put Ohio State and put them in the West, and take, you know, it doesn't even really, Illinois, Northwestern, it really doesn't matter. Put them in the East. But if you think about it too, I mean, with how big of a rivalry Michigan and Ohio State is, people would want to see that as a Big Ten championship game, and they never will, the way that it is right now. So.
Right. And I don't know if they play it like the SEC where they have two crossovers and one is a, quote, rivalry game where they play every year, like Florida plays LSU every year. So if you were to have Michigan and Ohio State in different conferences, mm-hmm. they could still play each other every year.
Yeah, and that's what I think they should do. I mean,
Well, if things don't work out for you at the Pull for Four Industries, maybe we can make a push for you to be the Big Ten commissioner. I think that pays quite handsomely, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm
not
opposed to that.
A little bit more than you're going to make here.
We'll probably figure that out, yeah.
All right. I mean, we push the needles here at Pull for Four Industries. We can make it happen. You just let me know if you're ready for that commitment, and we'll make that happen. All right,
sounds
good. How about if we take a break? All right, we're back from break. This is episode 197 of the Por Favor, Montengase Alejandro de los Podcast. Mike from sunny Michigan is joining
us. Snowy Michigan right now.
Snowy Michigan. Yeah, so it was snowing in Minnesota. Now it's just making its way across the upper Midwest into New England. New England, Mr. Klinsman's studios might get hit with 3 to 6 inches of snow. So it's spreading its love all over the continental United States right now. So I want to talk about something a little different. We're going to get off the food topic. We'll probably jump right back into that next weekend. Did you just drop your microphone?
No,
what the hell's going on?
I moved my chair. I'm in the kitchen on a tile floor.
Oh, okay. You're in the kitchen in the. I guess the studio hasn't been built out yet.
No, not quite yet. I'm still waiting. Did you guys get someone to do that yet? Have you hired someone?
It's the end of the year. These guys are busy right now. I was talking to. To Coppender, and he said he might not be able to get to it until after New Year's.
Because
so,
I haven't been
I'm doing everything I can.
Yet, so,
yeah, I mean you're dropping microphones off the kitchen onto the kitchen floor. Definitely not the high end operation that we like to see here at the Por Favor Podcast.
No, it's a little different here in Diamonddale than it is over in Westerly. I don't have the private recordings, you know, suite with all the Disney memorabilia and things of that nature.
It's the Ritz-Carlton and Motel 6 is what's going on right
that
now.
Is what we got. That is what we got.
We will get you up there. We will get you up there in a couple months. Trust me on that.
All right. Sounds good.
So I want to talk a little bit about the fort because I know that you're a big Fort Wilderness fan.
I do like the fort, yeah.
Tell me what you like about it.
You know, I like that you can kind of have two vacations in one if you go to the fort. You know, if you're someone that likes camping or even if you're not someone that's a camper, you know, you could do one of the cabins there. But when you're in the fort, I mean, you're really pretty separated from the rest of like the hustle and bustle of Disney World. It's really pretty quiet there. And you have that, you know, regular camping vacation, but at the same time, you're on a Disney vacation.
Now, let's just take me back real quick so I can get a little grasp. When did you first start doing your Disney trips? Were you a kid or were you... Did you start older in life?
So
when I was a kid, I was like in first grade, my family went to Disney. And actually that time we stayed at Fort Wilderness. We stayed in one of the cabins there. And I don't remember too much about it, but
It wasn't a treehouse, so it was one of their standard cabins.
Yep, it was one of the cabins. And then I went one more time when I was a kid, a few years after that. And then the next time that I went down was with my wife. She was my girlfriend at the time, and two of our friends, and we went down in December of 2008. And I mean, at that time, like, we didn't know anything, you know what I mean? Like, we knew that we were going to Disney World, but like, we didn't know that we should be making dining reservations. We had no idea how much like food was going to cost down there. I mean, at that time we were young and really didn't have money to be going to Disney World anyways, but we did it anyhow. Mm-hmm. And you know, pretty much since then we've gone back, you know, every year or every couple years. And you know, last year we went, you know, like I think five or six times. But that was uh-huh. that was the year that we had the annual passes. So
mm-hmm. So it's the way I look at it, it's always love at first sight. Like the first time we ever stayed on property was at the Grand Floridian, literally a week after it had opened. So that's why that resort is always going to be my favorite, because it brings me back to being 16 years old and having a nice vacation with my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like the fort was one of your first trips too. So every time you go back and visit, it brings you back.
It was, yeah. But, to those memories. But, you know, but really, I mean, I have kind of faint memories of being there. Excuse me. But I don't remember a whole lot about it. Since that time, the only other time that I've stayed there was just our last trip in September. When we were down during Hurricane Irma, and at that time we stayed at the cabin, and we only stayed there for one night because they were evacuating Fort Wilderness, and so we got moved to Coronado Springs and then Beach Club. But okay. but I do like Fort Wilderness a lot. You know, my wife and I have talked lots of times about about hauling a trailer down there and camping down there. I think I don't want to say small, but we have a smaller trailer right now, and I think before
is it a pop up?
It's not a pop up. No, it's bigger than that. It's all hard sided. It's all like with the tongue and everything. It's 22 feet, but like just the actual like box, the camper part of it is like 19 and a half feet. So I think we'd want to get something a little bit bigger before we went all the way down there. So, I mean, it'll probably be a little while before we actually do that camping trip. And it would be fine if it was just the two of us, but with two kids now, it's getting a little cramped in there.
Now, let me ask you this. You stayed at the cabins, right?
I did, yeah.
Now, how many rooms do they have? Tell me about that before we jump into the camping aspect of this Fort Wilderness thing.
Yeah, so the cabins, I really want to go back to the cabins. And I think actually, as of right now, our next trip is going to be next December, so like a year from now or so. But we love the cabins and wish we would have been able to spend more time there.
Because here's what I want you to do. I want you to sell me on Fort Wilderness, because I love Hoop-Dee-Doo. I love Trail's End. I think that is one of the most underrated restaurants on property. And I do like the grounds, but I'm not an outdoor person, and I'm certainly not a camper. So I want to try to get into why I shouldn't stay at a moderate, and why I should stay either camp or stay at one of the cabins. So
it sounds like the
I'll go back to you.
I mean, I don't think I'm going to sell you on camping. I think we've come that far, but well, maybe. But I think that a cabin would be good for you. The cabin, all the cabins you walk in, there's a small deck. And I want to say they even have like a picnic table on the deck.
I believe they have a grill too, or do you have to use the community grills?
No, I think you're right. I think they do have a grill as well. So you walk in. I'm assuming that all of them are set up the same as ours was. But you walk into the front door, take a left, go down the hallway, and all the way at the end of the hallway is the bedroom. That bedroom had a queen bed, and then it also had bunk beds in there as well.
So basically, you said, would you be sharing a room with your kids?
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to be doing that in a regular hotel room anyways.
So they're pretty much one bedroom is what you have. I would assume that they probably have some that also have two and maybe three, or am I mistaken?
As far as I know, I think they're all that
size. They're all
size.
Standard. Okay, yeah. Okay.
And then the other thing that they have is out in the front of the cabin, where like the living room area is, that that bed comes out, and that's a hide-a-bed, and that'll fold out into another queen size bed.
So a little day bed, okay.
Yep. And they have a full kitchen. I mean, they have a stove, oven, full size refrigerator, kitchen. You know, that sink. Size coffee maker, not the one that'll make just like a single cup of coffee at a time. And then, I mean, the bathroom was nice, you know, full size tub and shower. And I think, you know, the really good thing about that for us was the full size kitchen. I mean, we love to eat at Disney World, but, you know, we could see, you know, staying there sometime when, you know, we're trying to do it on a little bit of a budget and making at least some of our meals right there. And I mean, the kitchen was big enough and it had everything supplied, you know, all your pots and pans and everything like that supplied, that you could cook right in there.
Now, for those people who are on the coast, and I used to be, I would consider myself an East Coast boy. When I heard the term cabin, especially out in Minnesota, you guys refer to them as going up to the cabin in the summer in Michigan too. But I assume, you know, a place that had an outhouse outside, and you know, you pretty much could only cook hot dogs and beans. And my buddy took me up to his quote cabin up in Brainerd, Minnesota, and you know, this house was better than the house that he lived in down in the suburbs. So this isn't what people would think of as a cabin. This fully furnished house, if
like
you will,
I said,
right?
Yeah, I mean, we loved it. We wish we could have stayed there longer. But, yeah, it's very well furnished. It's very nice in there. And, you know, we were wondering they're all separate cabins. We were wondering if we were going to get mousekeeping every day. We were only there one night. But the night that we did, you know, they absolutely came. And not only did they come, but they put, you know, we had our refillable mugs that we had, you know, just kind of on the counter. Well, they put those in the dishwasher for us. They put the coffee pot in the dishwasher for us, ran the dishwasher. So, yes, they come and they do a really good job too.
Okay. So these are one bedroom. You got a living room, a kitchen area, a bathroom. I think I saw like the seating area kind of like has a table and a bench. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's got there's like a bench along the wall. If I remember right, there's like a bench along the wall. And then you have the table, obviously, just out from that, and two chairs on the other side of that table.
So these are pretty much set up for a single family. Like, I couldn't go with Klinsman and his wife, correct?
Well, I mean, I would say that you could, because you went there with Klinsman, and his two girls are in the room with them, and then you got
the pullout.
You got that pullout, you know, that full that.
Okay, so you
pullout,
could do.
Yeah. And actually, when we went down in September, my aunt was coming down, and she was going to stay with us. Now, obviously, things changed, and we ended up at Beach Club, but that's where she was going to stay. She was going to stay in the cabin with us on the pullout.
So now, let me ask you this. How are these things priced per night? Well, I mean, are they comparable to a moderate, or are they more in the deluxe range?
So they technically, they're a moderate category. But I would say that they're priced more towards the low end.
A wilderness lodge. So you,
but go ahead. But also the thing that you got to remember is those moderate prices. That's just a standard hotel room. You know what I mean? You don't got the kitchen in there. You don't got the living area in the kitchen table and all that stuff. You don't have all that. So yeah, it's a little bit more. But I think you're also getting quite a bit more. So obviously it ranges depending on when you go. I'm looking at value season for 2017, and it's around $350 a night. Let's see what it'll go up to. And then the holiday season, during Christmas time, it's like $600.
All right, so on the low end,
but everything
on the low end, you're looking at $350.
So.
So, yep. Who is this ideal for? Because like a single family at 350, you could stay at Boardwalk or Beach Club. You know, a lot of times you can see, I can see Beach Club for 310, 325. So it sounds like this is okay for families who want to pinch pennies and cook, but yet they're still spending 325. So I'm just who.
They're still spending 325. So I mean, if you're at three, you know, say you're at 350 a night, and you're at 325 a night at Beach Club.
Uh-huh.
So you got a $25 difference there. I mean, you can spend $20 on one quick service meal,
right,
per person. So it's $80 right there.
This...
I mean, you're already making up a little difference right there. And I mean, to be honest with you, like, yes, it's more expensive than the other moderates, but I think the size of it, the fact that you got that whole kitchen, and I think the resort itself really makes it worth it to stay there. The resort is awesome. They have just so much to offer. And like I said, I was bummed that we didn't get to spend more time there, but this is where we plan on going back.
Because let's face it, the values are the values. They, yep, you know, they attract a certain people, and then also the people who just want to go, you know, morning to midnight at the parks and just want to come back and, yep, crash for a few, yep, hours and then go back to the parks. You know, the moderates and the values, oh, I'm sorry, the moderates and the deluxes, those are people who want to spend more time at the resort. And I would assume that the cabins are the same thing. It's for people who, you know, want to spend maybe 5 or 6 hours at the parks and then come back and do some hiking and exploring and maybe get a drink over near Trail's End and hang out with the family.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think, you know, we're just talking about the cabins right now too, but there's a lot of families that will take just their family vacation is camping, you know, and if they want to go to Disney World and they're used to camping and they're fine with camping, then that could make a Disney trip very affordable for them.
Oh yeah, now we're talking about camping, and you know, we're gonna go up and see the Willings tomorrow, and the weather's supposed to be pretty lousy, and I think we're just gonna, you know, hopefully just spend the day hanging out at the fort.
Oh, you're gonna hang out in their hotel room on wheels?
Yeah, man, yeah, exactly.
You know, I'd really like to report back on the inside of that rig, because I've seen pictures of the outside of it, and it looks pretty amazing.
Oh yeah, I mean, you talk about incredible. I mean, they got a hot tub, jacuzzi. You know, I think they had to pay for two or three lots just to fit that bad boy in.
Yeah, well, I heard that they paid for the massage therapist to travel down there so that she could set up her table and everything in the back of the RV for when they got back from the park.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah, yeah. He didn't want us to talk. They didn't want us to talk about that, but
okay. Yeah, just edit that part out then.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah.
But now, what is this pricing structure? Do you know?
Okay. I got that pulled up right now. So that's...
So now you're pulling your own rig down.
Mm-hmm. And the prices with this are very variable, because you have multiple different kinds of sites. So let me go over these, and I'll try and tell you like what my thought of them is. I don't know if this is for sure what it is. First of all, you got a tent or pop-up campsite. From what I understand, that is going to be a campsite. It's not going to be very deep, so it's not going to be really long for like a longer fifth wheel or motorhome or something like that. This site is going to have power, probably water, but it's not going to have a sewer hookup. The next site that you go to is a full hookup campsite. That's going to be power, water, and sewer. Preferred campsite is the next one. That's going to have the same things as all the full hookup site, but I think you're just going to be in a different location, maybe a little bit nicer location, more desirable one, maybe closer to the pool. You know, I'm not sure exactly where those ones would be. And then the next one is the premium campsite. And I'm really not sure what the premium campsite is. I mean, I'm sure, I know that it has all the things that a full hookup campsite do, but I don't know what all else it has. Okay, so let's see here. This is what it says. This is from the Disney Parks Mom panel. Looks like someone asked a question. It says, the preferred campsites, which you ask about, are loops 100, 200, and 300. These were the original campsite loops and are thus close to the marina, Trails End, and Pioneer Hall. However, the pads are shorter and roads are a bit smaller, so getting the big long RVs in can be a test of wills. The most popular loops are the premium loops, which were built with the big new RVs in mind. They are complete concrete pads. They can easily fit a 45-foot vehicle with multiple slides. They also have heavier and upgraded picnic tables. So sounds like they're basically the same, except for the premium loops are just a little bit bigger spots, from what I understand.
Okay, so what's the cost on the premium?
Okay, so this is value season that I'm talking about here. The Tenor pop-up is going to start at $60. Full hookup will start at $83. Preferred will start at $96. And premium will start at $101.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Me, Mr. Bean, not necessarily cheapskate, but why would you pay more for that than to stay at Pop Century?
Like the premium campsite?
Yeah. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know that. I don't know that it would be more. I mean, let's see what. I think you're starting. I mean, a little bit higher than that for Pop Century during a value season.
Yeah,
but you know, part of the other thing too that you know with, I mean, I wouldn't pay for one of those sites, one of the premium sites.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people, they're in their rig like all year round. They're just traveling the country. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that
yes,
that they have their 2 weeks or 3 weeks, some, you know, that they spend at Disney World at Fort Wilderness.
Yeah, you're right. These are the people who are going all over the country, and they say, you know what, let's spend a couple weeks at Disney.
Yeah. All right, so I'm just looking it up right now, and so. For a standard room at Pop during value season, you're at $118. So it's $17 more per night to do a standard room at Pop Century than it is a premium room or a premium site at Fort Wilderness.
Okay.
And for a lot of those rigs that are coming in there, staying in that RV is a whole lot nicer than staying in a Pop Century room.
It is, really, huh?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I mean, some of those rigs that are pulling in there, you know, $1 million.
Okay.
And if you spent that money, then why would you spend money to stay at a hotel?
Oh, no, I totally agree. I'm just thinking one of those little pop-up campers.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I'm sure that there's some pop-up campers that are getting the premium campsites, but I think most of those premium campsites are going to be really nice travel trailers and fifth wheels. And like Class A motorhomes,
okay.
Class C motorhomes,
okay.
Because they're longer. That's what they're made for.
Gotcha. So if you were to go, you'd be more leaning toward the cabins than pulling your own trip.
Right now, I'd want to stay at the cabins. I think once we got a different trailer, a little bit bigger trailer, then I definitely want to camp down there. But the trailer that we have now is just with two kids and all their stuff. I don't want to do that for. And if we're gonna drive down there and pull the trailer, then we're gonna stay down there for a while. Right. So I don't want to do 10 days in there with all kinds of clutter going on in that trailer. I'd lose my mind.
Cause that does sound nice. Cause my wife and I, we're pretty much homers. We like to cook. We don't like to go out to eat much. The only time we really go out to eat is at Disney.
Uh huh.
And that just sounds like it would be fun to go to the parks and then come back and go to the pool and relax and maybe grill out a steak and watch TV for a little bit. And
yeah, absolutely. And you know, the thing about it is there's so much to do at Fort Wilderness too.
Right, exactly.
You know, you go to the parks for a while, come back, have your dinner, and then, you know, they got those carriage rides. You know, if you go down there, hey, you guys are you're going to the fort tomorrow, right?
Correct.
You're staying there until nighttime?
No, yeah, because I think they stayed in a dog-friendly area, so we're going to bring the crate up and bring the puppy, and that way there.
Outstanding. That'll be great.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that, you know, one of the things that I have never done, but I've always wanted to do, is go to Fort Wilderness and drive around all the campground loops at Christmas time.
Yes, exactly. Rent a golf cart.
Yeah, all exactly. Those people down there, they, you know, they bring all those Christmas decorations down, and they just they go to town on their campfire.
And I think Doug and Sue did post on Facebook that they did decorate, correct? Because I remember you were commenting a little on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I would want to pull a trailer down just so I could do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's just a different. Just like the values are for certain people, I think Fort Wilderness is for another dynamic.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
But I think it's just so well themed, and it's one of those places where you totally get lost and forget where you are.
Yeah, it really is very quiet there. You know, there's a lot of downsides that people say to it. You know, the bus system within it, you know, but
you got a bus system within a bus system. Like when you park
right.
And you have a reservation at Trails End, it takes you 40 minutes to get to that restaurant, for crying out loud, because it's got a they got bus stops. Like almost it's like when you're in a hurry to go to work and you get right behind a school bus and it's making a stop. And you're like, gosh, when I was a kid, you know, we used to have to walk 10 miles between bus stops. Now they're dropping every kid at their house.
Yeah,
doesn't it seem like that? I mean, those red lights go on. It seems like every 30 feet.
Yep.
And that's how it feels like the buses at Fort Wilderness. They literally have a stop like every half sandwich.
Yeah, that's what, you know, and Roxy and I have talked a little bit about this. You know, maybe the next time we go down, you know, maybe rent one of those golf carts for at least a few of the days while we're there. Because, you know, you got all those golf carts. They're zipping all around and everything. And the other thing about staying at Fort Wilderness is you can park at your site or your cabin. And you can also park like way up front, like if you're coming in for Trails End or Hoop De Doo or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, there's no parking anywhere, and that's it's a huge resort. I mean, it's very expansive. It's very spread out. So
it is huge.
I mean,
it is huge.
Oh yeah. So to like walk to the pool from your cabin could be quite a ways. You know what I mean? To go down to Crockett's Tavern to booze it up, that could be a long way to stumble back, but. You know, you should have no problem driving a golf cart, right?
No. Although I do think that the DWI laws still stand up if you're driving a golf cart too. So
I'm sure there'd be some kid waiting going into Hoop De Doo that'd be ecstatic to drive a golf cart and to drive you back to your cabin.
He could be your designated driver.
Now, yes.
Before we wrap up and go to our second break, have you been to Crockett's Tavern?
I have not had a drink there. I've sat just outside of it. I think when we've been waiting to go to, actually, no, I have had a drink there. I can't remember what I had. I had some kind of mixed drink, I want to say, but we were actually just, sitting outside right on that, that like covered porch there.
And that's so nice. Cause I've been to Hoop De Doo a few times with the Aruda family, and one of my favorite memories is my uncle and I always like to try to get a Bloody Mary wherever we go. So we went to that takeout window, and we got a Bloody Mary, and the girls got a couple drinks, and we just sat on those rocking chairs, and just hung out. It's really nice.
It sounds like I want to hang out with Frank.
Oh, you definitely want to hang out with Frank.
It's too bad, you know, when we had our meetup, he went back early.
Yeah, he did.
Like real early.
Yeah, he was back before the end of the ball game.
Oh, well before the end of the ball game.
Well before the end of the ball game.
Yeah, well before we even met Paulie.
Well, he's good. He's good for about one drink, and then it's time to go to bed.
Yeah.
So you don't want to have him have his drink a little early, because then it's bedtime by 7 o'clock. I mean, he doesn't make Jeopardy. So we got to time Frank's one drink. So do you have anything else to add? Anything else you want to sell me on at Fall Wilderness?
I mean, I think it sounds like you might be pretty sold. You know what? Actually, there is one more thing. There is one more option that you have. And this isn't through Disney, but you can rent an RV. Lots of different kinds.
I saw that, actually. Yes.
And they'll take it and set it up on your site.
Yes.
And pick it up for you, and you basically just go there and stay in it. I've seen a few different people that have done this, mm-hmm. and they love it. I don't know the cost of it. I gotta imagine that it would be cheaper to rent this RV and stay at one of the sites than it would be to rent the cabin. But I'm pretty sure that they come fully furnished, you know.
And now that's an option with having a new puppy is we could rent one of those and then go up there and stay and bring the puppy up with us and
absolutely
eat at the restaurant, stay there. That's a good take right there, Michael. Good job.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. I learned that from my camping podcast.
Your RV camping podcast. I mean, holy moly! You talk about a nerd and a half listening to camping podcasts. You and Doug Willing.
Yep. Well, you know, I guess I'm not sure which makes me more of a nerd, listening to Disney podcasts or listening to camping podcasts.
Now, what are those all about, real quick, before we take a break? What do they talk? Do they just talk about different sites around the country, or how does that work?
There's a few different ones. There's campground reviews of different campgrounds, all over the country. Both private and public campgrounds. They'll talk about. They also talk about a lot of just I think like 3 or 4 times a year they have like a gear guide where they're talking about just different camping gear that you might want, flashlights, like leveling blocks, all kinds of different stuff, bed, like different bedding, all kinds of stuff. They talk about all different kinds of stuff.
I camped once in my life, and it was I don't know if it was on what river it was, but it was on the Minnesota Wisconsin border. It was just north of I think it was Hudson, Wisconsin, and it was the most miserable experience of my life. It was around June.
I
want to
hear this story. Yeah,
it was June, and it was your typical June day in Minnesota where it was like 62 degrees. We went tubing down this river and it was freezing.
Why wouldn't you just cancel those plans? Why wouldn't you cancel the tubing plans?
I don't know. They were already done. I was brand new to the area. I'm like, I don't want to be a wuss. Let me see what this outdoors thing was all about. And then I went home and I smelled like I've never smelled before. And I took a shower and I got out and I smelled almost as bad as I've never smelled before. And then Monday I went to work and I took a shower and I still smelled.
I said
never, ever, ever, ever again.
The thing that you got to understand though is there's different kinds of camping. You did
the hardcore air mattress, balls to the wall
camping. It can be a lot more enjoyable. Don't get me wrong, I like to do that kind of camping every now and again, but I also like having my trailer and having my nice bed and heat and the refrigerator, and my bathroom, all that stuff right there. So it can be, you and Kristen should look into maybe renting one of those RVs one time for like a weekend. Go to the fort for like a weekend, stay in there and see how you like it. I bet you'll change your mind.
About camping. Mike, that's a great idea because it's basically putting on the training wheels and seeing if you want to do it. I think that's probably what's the best take out of the show was. Maybe if you're not necessarily a camper, you can go, you can try it before you buy it, if you will, and
do it that way. Try it out at the fort, and then I know Florida's got a lot of other really good campgrounds that maybe if you like it at the fort, maybe you'd like it somewhere else. When we go down. If we go down sometime and camp at the fort, I also want to camp at Fort DeSoto, which is supposed to be really nice too.
Yeah, that's what you're going to see in about 5 years. You're going to see me checking in on Facebook at Melnick International Forest.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Melnick National Forest in the middle of the state, and you'll be like, "Oh, it came from my one little idea of renting an RV."
That would be awesome.
You'd be so proud of me, wouldn't you?
I would be. I sure would be. Then we could actually have a Por Favor camping trip.
Oh, I wouldn't count on that, but there's always hope. There's always hope. It's like Klinsmann enjoying Bud Lights.
There's always hope. Well, he partook into some Bud Lights with you while you were up in Rhode Island, didn't he?
Oh yeah, we had some Bud Lights. Yeah.
Yeah, the old cans.
No, that's what I found in my mom's house. You liked that, didn't you? The old cans.
I did. Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
All right, I got nothing else. See you?
No, I don't think I do.
All right, let's go to break. for break. This is episode 197 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro Dos podcast. Mike and I had a discussion about Fort Wilderness, the cabins, the camping sites, and he tried to sell me on the idea, and
I think you did an okay job.
Originally, I said, yeah, I can do the cabins, but, you know, I would never buy a camper because I have no interest in going camping. But I totally forgot about the fact that you can rent from the local dealerships, not the dealerships, but local companies.
I think they are. Yeah, the dealerships that'll do it.
That may not be a bad option for people who want to try to rough it, want to try to take advantages of the amenities at the fort.
Not at all.
Without having to make a capital purchase. I like that idea.
You know, Fort Wilderness is popular. It's extremely, extremely popular. When was the last time that you saw free dining or any kind of room or site discount at Fort Wilderness? You don't see it. You never see it. It's because the place is always sold out. There's
yeah,
demand.
That's a good point.
There's demand there.
There's
definitely demand.
Because Hoop-Dee-Doo is always crowded.
Yep.
Trails End is always crowded. It's got great values. I haven't done the Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, have you?
No, I have not. I'm trying to remember. I feel like someone was just recently talking about it that they did it. But no, I haven't. I haven't done that.
No, it's something I would definitely like to do. I don't know if it's necessarily a destination type of thing, but I think if I was staying there, it would definitely be on my list. I mean, the fort, let's face it, the fort is kind of tough to get to, especially if you're not a local driving around. You have to go to the Magic Kingdom and then take the boat over to Fort Wilderness, or if you're at Epcot, you got to take the bus over to Fort Wilderness. So it's not that easy to get over to.
Yeah, if you're driving, it's very easy. But yeah, if you're going there from somewhere else, then it can be kind of a pain. Probably depending on where you're coming from, like you said, probably the best way to get there is to just go to the Magic Kingdom and take the boat over.
Or you could actually walk from Wilderness Lodge. I think it's like a 1 mile walk through the trail, which I would recommend. I've kind of done that halfway, and it's really pretty. You see some deer, and it's a really pretty area. But yeah, Mickey's Backyard Barbecue is definitely on my radar, and the food's good, the amenities. I mean, there's tons and tons and tons of stuff to do there, so.
Yeah. They got that, I think it's every night, too. They have, weather permitting, they have that, like, campfire, too. And, you know, you can go there and
with the
marshmallows.
With the s'mores.
Yeah, I
want to
say Chippendale are there or something like that, so.
Yep, you piqued my interest, Michael. Great job.
All right, I'm looking forward to your trip report for when you go down there.
We'll probably have Fort Wilderness Part 2 with the Willings from Minnesota. We're getting a lot of our upper Midwest friends on. I like this.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to do I'd like to be on for that one. I'd like to hear what they have to say about it.
Oh, look at you already politicking for another episode.
Well, I'd like to talk with them about it.
Oh, listen to the way. Oh, I'd like to talk about that. You didn't mention the $125 that I have to pay you to come on. Oh, I might
take a pay cut for that episode.
Mm. Yeah, go down to $65 and the marshmallows.
And marshmallows.
Little marshmallows.
I got to get some little marshmallows for my hot cocoa with it snowing here. I'm going to have to go outside and shovel soon.
So it is sticking. So it is that time of year.
Oh, it's sticking,
huh?
Yeah, I'm looking out at my deck right now. It's definitely sticking.
Now, are you a winter guy, or do you just kind of, you're just born there and you just deal with it? I mean, do you like it, or?
You know, I like it at first, and then after a while, I get tired of it. You know, here's what I could deal with. I could deal with, like, you know, a few big snows each year. I don't mind having the snow and have it be around. What I hate is when it snows and melts and gets all nasty, and then snows again and then melts and gets all nasty. I'd rather just have it snow, stay for the year, and then go away. Have it be just cold enough that it doesn't melt, but not like frigid, and then springtime just go.
That's what I was going to say, but you mentioned frigid, because if you want that, move to Minneapolis, because once it starts in early November, it's there until May.
Yeah.
That's a little too much for you, though, isn't it?
That would be too much, yeah.
All right, I got nothing else to add. We can wrap this up. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Port for War Podcast. You can email the show info at Port for War Podcast. You can email me, Mike, at Port for War Podcast. Mr. Klinsman's email address, Gary at Port for War Podcast. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play at Port for War Podcast. Watch our videos, which we're constantly adding some new content. Google www.youtube.com/Port for War Podcast. Mr. Schaefer, do you have anything that you want to plug?
No.
How about your business?
Michael Baron Schaefer. Michael Baron Schaefer on Facebook. And like I said before, if you want to be my friend, you don't look like a weirdo, then I will probably accept it.
And the fact that he accepted my friend request and I am a total weirdo goes to show that
my standards for
he doesn't have much criteria. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. This show is also brought to you by Clean Cut Lawn Service.
Do you have
that's Clean Cut Lawn Service, MI. That's facebook.com/CleanCutLawnServiceMI for
do you
Michigan.
Do you have an elevator speech that you want to give, or are you good?
That's it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to episode 187 of the Port for War Mantengase Alejandro de los Podcast from my buddy up in Michigan, Mike. I am Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll be right back.